5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by hellboundbooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all. It is episode 97 of the New Panic Room, which means it is Thursday night, 9:30 Central. And do you know, it always seems like last week we did all this malarkey and nonsense before. So I think probably in many ways it was. But yeah, hey, it is Thursday night again, and you're gonna have to forgive me because I'm a little bit scatterbrained because the kids have been on summer break for nearly a week now, and I'm just all over the place. I just don't know what's going on. Don't know what day, because my whole routine's gone, obviously. And got the 9-year-old on Saturday. She managed till Saturday lunchtime, and she's on board. She's bored. I mean, seriously, you know, half a day into 11 weeks, and she's bored. So that's my life at the moment. So anybody want to swap, then just give me a shout. Hey, it wouldn't be right without my old sidekick. It's the well-oiled and the well-oiled machine that is the New Panic Room. Stina, how are you this evening, my dear?
I'm doing great, and I agree with you. This week it's felt so strange. It feels like the weekend every day, and so I'm not in work mode at all, which, you know, I'm only in work mode about, you know, half an hour a day anyway, so this is even worse. I'm like,
yeah,
oh, my God.
Between naps.
Yes, exactly. So this is even worse. And but no,
well,
it's bad for me
because I'm used to being up at sort of 5:30 to try and get the teenager out the door, which is not easy, but now I'm sleeping in right till like 7, and I'm losing an hour and a half of my day. You know, I'm getting to sort of 1, I'm thinking, where's the day? You know, I've not done everything I'm supposed to have done, but I flatly refuse to set my alarm for 5:30 during the summer break. I'm just not gonna do that. No. No.
And it's felt like Friday all day to me because we were on, you know, Jesse's show last night. So it's all day long. It's felt like Friday. Like, we've already worked. What are we doing today? That's how I felt.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm saying. Yeah. And here we are doing it all over again. But in many ways better. So only okay, Jesse, if you say, I enjoy it. That's I check out what was the name of his show now, the Deadman's Tone show.
Deadman's Tone podcast.
Yeah, it was a good show. We had it was a good old laugh. We had a good giggle.
We did. I had a great time. I thought I was just calling in to say hi though, and then like, you know, over an hour later I was still there. So really, I thought it was just going to be like, hi, James, and then leave, and
it's like, you know, you know, it's like we're like the Sonny and Cher of talk radio, I like, except without the bizarre skiing accident, I mean, you know, but yeah, I mean, you can't have one without the other, you know, it's, you know, we come
I want to
sort
sing,
of
you know, we go
set.
Together, you know, I want to sing we go together, I won't
we,
do it.
We need to get. I was thinking of the Frank Sinatra Love and Marriage go to like a horse. You know, we're both on a show again next Thursday. Is it before? Just before the show, isn't it?
Tomorrow. Yes. Definitely. Yeah, and then the 22nd, I'm back on Jesse's, and you're going to be calling in there too. So we're having a busy month.
We have media celeb. I'm going to have to get my boobs enhanced, I think, for those all-important cleavage shots. So I shall work on that.
Yeah, you do that.
I think I need to. That's not through my boobs. Thank you. As my daughter likes to point out, you've got boobies. Shut up.
Thank you. That's cute. Kids say the darndest things, don't they?
Oh, don't they just, little fuckers. Yes, they do. They can destroy your ego in just like one sentence.
Yeah, you know, oh my God. This morning I was putting on my lipstick.
You can't retaliate, though, can you? You can't turn around and say, yeah, well, you're fucking short, aren't you?
Well, it depends on how old they are. You know, it depends on how old they are. I was putting on my lipstick this morning, and my son is like, you know, not like that makes a difference. I'm like, well, thanks. You're so sweet. You know what I mean?
Ouch.
I know. I was thinking maybe it's just not my color. Yeah, he's 14, and, you know, it's not cool to think mom is, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah, he's. I just hit him. You know, I hit him,
actually,
and then when he walked by, I kicked him. So. Not really.
I had a meeting a week or two back, a guy that written scripts for. I put a polo shirt, so I was just a casual polo shirt, because normally, and I sat here actually in my Britney Spears t-shirt that the kids bought me for my birthday.
Oh my God.
Seriously, it's got Britney. I'm a big Britney Spears fan, I have to say. Just because I put a polo shirt on, she said, "Where are you going all gutted up like that?" So I put a polo shirt, not like I put a suit on. I don't think she's ever seen me in a suit. I used to wear suits day in, day out in my previous career, and I haven't worn a tie in I can't remember how long. You know, she wore a gussie, like a polo shirt, food stains down it, you know, gussie. That's posh. That's me making an effort. You know, I thought, this is what I've become. I used to wear very expensive three-piece suits, silk ties, the works, you know, but now it's Britney Spears t-shirt, casual shorts, you know.
I need a picture of you in this Britney. You know, I think I've heard you say it before, and still,
yeah.
I have not gotten a picture. So I really need one.
I'll get the child to take a picture, so I can send it in. But So anywho, I've prepared prepared a little something for my favorite. I've not the president. For a little while, so I just prepared a little bit of something. Here we go.
Nobody does it better.
I really believe I'd run into it even if I didn't have a weapon.
Nobody knows the system better than me.
Nobody knows politicians better than I do.
Nobody knows. Nobody's better.
Nobody's stronger.
There's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am.
I love the First Amendment. Nobody loves it better than me.
Nobody loves the Bible more than I do.
There is nobody that respects women more than I do.
Nobody builds walls better than me.
Nobody's in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump. Nobody knows that better than me.
Nobody even understands it but me.
Nobody can do it like me.
Which is why I alone can fix it.
I have Ivy League education, smart guy.
I know words. I have the best words.
You're like, I'm a smart person.
It's this. It's not my salesmanship. It's what?
This. You know what that is? It's the brain power.
I'm getting thousands of letters and tweets that I was right about the whole situation. I mean, I've been right about a lot of things, frankly. I should be a newscaster because I called it before the news.
I watch your stuff. You know, I'm like a guy with vision.
I have an instinct for this kind of thing.
I'm good at war. I've had a lot of wars of my own. I'm really good at war.
In my book, I predicted terrorism.
It's a rigged system. I think I've done a great service by pointing this out. I was the one that really broke the glass ceiling on behalf of women.
I think I'm doing the military a great favor.
Did a great job in Texas, a great job in Florida.
I truly believe that the first 100 days of my administration has been just about the most successful in our country's history.
It looked like a million and a half people.
Thank you, everybody. What a crowd. What a turnout.
I understand steaks. It's my favorite food, and these are the best.
That keeps me from running.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, my little homage to the last president of the United States. And I thought one thing he is the best at is being a bit of a twat, in my personal opinion. So,
I
that was pretty good. That was,
Yeah, the most frightening part about that whole thing was that he actually believes the things that are coming out of his mouth.
I know. Yeah, it is. He believes he's the best at it. I mean, and some of those, yeah. I mean, one of them, I remember he was just after Harvey, and I lived through Harvey, and he's there, so what a great turnout. And this was at the the refugee centre. It was a captive audience.
Oh,
it was a captive audience. It's like Goebbels going to Belsen and saying, hey, you know, what a great turnout. Well, you know, not really.
That's so bad.
No,
yeah.
Not really. Mm, but hey. So, I've no idea what's going on. We do have a show. We have J.D. Holyfield and Sonny Giovanni, contemporary romance authors, which means you can ask the question. What time period is your contemporary romance set in? Which was great.
I said it one time.
Yeah, but it's always worth bringing up again. It's worth dredging.
I know.
Dredging
I felt
up again.
So stupid afterwards. Okay,
well,
but it sounded futuristic to me.
Do you know? And you, to be fair, actually, you sounded really stupid as well. So it kind of balances out there, doesn't it?
I know. I have said some winners. I really have. And I'm so glad that we have, you know, a record of all of these, you know, fun things.
Oh, they are there in perpetuity. They are on iTunes. They are on YouTube. You can't avoid them. You can download them and listen to them on your cell phone using our app. I mean, there's no getting away from them. They're there forever.
I still say I'm just trying to contribute to our bloopers reel because, you know, we will have one, and I will be the star of the bloopers reel.
It'll be like 6 hours long, and it'll just be you, you know, and that'll be it. So there's that. So, hey,
yeah.
We have, what happens now? Oh, excuse me, I'm giddy, and I've not started on my monster yet, but I'm going to let you introduce our first. In fact, I need to cue up the cheer, don't I? It's not a real. I've spoilt it now, haven't I? I've spoilt it for the listener. He's there thinking we've got proper audio. Funny story. When I was a kid, I used to listen. It was the top 20 in those days. We used to listen to it. Usually, we'd come back from the seaside in the car, in my dad's car. This is in the top 20, the hit parade.
Uh-huh.
And I thought they had all 20 bands in the studio, and they would each in turn play their hit record. I know. My life was I was devastated when I discovered that they were just playing the records or putting a tape in. Oh, that's not the same then, is it? It's like a bit of a letdown.
No.
So, hey, you can introduce our first guest.
Okay, our first guest is contemporary romance author Sonny Giovanni.
Well, hello.
Hello, are you there? Hello.
I'm well, how are you?
I'm good. You know, I'm sorry, I was expecting a man. To be honest,
I told you it's her.
Everybody assumes it.
He doesn't listen to me. That's what it is.
I never pay attention. I just don't. I should pay more attention. By the time you know, I don't know. I don't know. My attention span's gone. I just don't what it used to be.
Well, we did.
It's exactly what it used to be.
Look, my phone's on the like page.
Sonny, thank you so much for joining us. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Contemporary romance, which is one of Xtina's favourites, I know. So, where are you calling in from? Whereabouts in the country are you?
I'm actually calling from Dallas, Texas.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you're from Dallas? Oh, we're neighbours. We're neighbours. I could practically wave at you out of the window.
Where are you?
At Houston.
Oh, yeah, we are neighbors, right
down 35, yeah. Yeah, awesome. I presume you're enjoying the Texas summer?
No, not at all.
No.
No.
No. Well, we're enjoying it a little more now, because our upstairs AC was sort of not performing. And the kids, I was actually slow cooking the kids bit by bit. the nice man came out. Well, I'm down, the downstairs one's fine, so I'm a nice 76, 77. And the kids, it's like 88 up there, and they're, you know, kids whine. And they're whining. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm all right. But yeah, the guy's fit, so it's a nice and cool up there now. So yeah, we're on trouble. Yes, it is. And you step outside and it's that hot. It just drags the air from your lungs.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we didn't have a spring.
No, it went straight from freezing to the 90s. But,
exactly.
So
yeah.
Sunny is here to talk to us about her contemporary romance. What Pharaoh Wants, Part 4. So, Sunny, tell us a bit more about it.
Actually, not only is it contemporary romance, but it's a bit paranormal. It has a paranormal edge to it, so I think the readers would enjoy
Ooh.
It very much.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, in What Pharaoh Wants, Part 4, you have Mr. and Mrs. David and Robin Pharaoh. They encountered many jealous races before. The grudge that a woman named Omi has held against them. She has gone as far as tricking their son Moses into placing a hex over the house, which drains Pharaoh's power. And of course, Robin has to retaliate. But if David, the prince of voodoo, wasn't enough to think of before she committed this crime of kidnapping their son and trying to steal his wife's power, then she's blindsided by the fact that Moses holds the power of both sides. Nobody expects this 8-year-old Moses to be stronger than both of his parents. But now they have to gear up for, one, finding Moses, and two, keeping their marriage intact when all of these skeletons fall out of the closet that Omi seems to keep babbling on about. So it's pretty much of an interesting read.
Yeah, it sounds like if you got voodoo and witches, and that's definitely in the paranormal.
There's something for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously with the names, obviously a bit of a giveaway. It's sort of based around its roots are in sort of biblical times.
Oh no, it's actually current.
Oh no, I mean, but I get that. But does it? What I mean to say, does it have?
I know.
Does it with the names? Does it have parallels with biblical times? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, no.
So keep up.
No? I think it was my confusion. No, it's not actually parallels. Actually, David got his name from his grandmother, and she was one of those cocky type of people, and she actually named his father King Amos Pharaoh. So
No, they're awesome names. I love the name. Moses Pharaoh is that's one of the best fictional names I've heard for a long time. I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
Like it too. Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got romance, you've got power. Where does your heart lie more, obviously, more with romance? Are you sort of dabbling in paranormal, or is that something that is an undercurrent in what you do?
Paranormal was actually my first romance. Like, that's how I came out in the business of writing. I wrote paranormal first. But in the market we live in, sometimes you can't just lean so predominantly on one specific genre. So I had to put a little bit more romance and steamy sex scenes in there just to make it more interesting so people could pick it up. So I think at this current moment, I'd say my heart lies with the erotic portion of it all.
Awesome.
That's a good place. Yeah.
That's the best place to be.
I wouldn't drink to that. Yeah.
To be fair, Xena will drink to anything. So.
I don't need an excuse really, but it sounded good.
Woo! It's Thursday, drink time.
So when you're not writing, what genre do you like to read?
That is a hard question. If I really, really, really had to, like if I was stuck on a deserted island and I had one book that was catered to one specific genre,
to save my life, I had to make it that hard. I think I would read erotica. I think I would. That most definitely would be my favorite genre to read.
And do you have a who are your favorite authors? Like, who do you like to read?
Mainly, let's see. I love Nora Roberts. Absolutely love Nora Roberts. Stephen King. You can never forget the King.
Right. Right.
Who else? James Patterson. All day, every day, hands down.
Yeah. You know, when you said Nora Roberts, I'm a fan of Nora Roberts, but I liked her, J.D. Robb. I liked the J.D. Robb books, I think, better. Oh, my gosh. I think Rourke was my very first book boyfriend. I wanted to marry him, like, seriously. And I was younger, too. I was, like, probably in my teens when I – was it that long ago? Oh, my gosh, maybe. I don't remember. But, yeah, in my head, I was Eve, and, you know, Rourke was my – he was definitely my book boyfriend. He was so hot, wasn't he? I mean, I have no – they should make that into a movie. I think that would be an amazing movie. And I want those things that, you know, the futuristic – I want the auto chef, and I don't even know what else. That was my definite favorite. I definitely need one of those in my life. You know, so.
You know what's crazy, though? Like, I have the entire in-depth series by J.D. Robb. Not once did I know that that was Nora Roberts. I think it was Midnight Bayou, and, like, at the back of the book, it was the previews of the other books, and there were a lot of J.D. Robb, so I thought maybe they were related. But then on one of the books it said Nora Roberts writing as J.D. Robb. That blew my mind. That absolutely took me for a loop.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Well, look, we've got this unprecedented. We've got a couple of callers, so hopefully they're calling to speak to Sonny or us. So let's see who the first one is. Hello, caller. How are you? Hello. Hello.
Maybe there's.
Oh, it's. The mysterious.
Maybe they're just lurking.
Probably butt dialed us or something. So hello. Oh well, that was a, you know, that happened. That was nothing, wasn't it? I got all excited for nothing.
Though, yeah.
It was exciting for like a second, and then oh, they've gone now.
Exactly.
Listening to their backside. So yeah. So Sonny, you have a little bit of a reading for us, yeah?
Actually, I didn't. I told Athena that I would be so nervous to read on air.
Yeah,
oh, no.
Had...
You should have said Athena would have been delighted to read it for you. She loves doing that.
Thanks. The excerpt is actually the, I think it's the blurb to the book,
right,
correct?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And
that's
you're
okay.
Want me to
that's
read
fine.
That.
Yeah, Xtina, she'll read the blurb, so I'll list the notes what it's all about. Go on, Xtina, over to you.
Okay. After the success of What Pharaoh Wants, a steamy African-American paranormal journey, Marcel Six is back to close out the final chapters of Mr. and Mrs. Pharaoh's twisted love affair and to showcase the natural talents of their only child, Moses Pharaoh. After having their son taken, their magic stolen, and their lives threatened, there is only one way to end it all. Of course, it must be in true Pharaoh style, which is dramatic and gaff-worthy. David Pharaoh, the Prince of Voodoo, alongside his wife Robin Pharaoh, the purest white witch, must come together to stand off against enemies in this heart-stopping finale. Woo, I got through it.
Wow, you're well done. How beautifully read. Beautifully read. I need this. Well, do you have to have read the ones that come before it, or is it a good sort of a standalone, or is it best to have read the series?
I think it's best to read the series, because when the series opens, Robin opposes Pharaoh. She does everything to get away from him because he's so fascinated with her. He's almost, I won't say almost, but he is a stalker, and he stalks her in the weirdest ways. He just wants her, and it's kind of, like I said, a twisted love affair. She slowly begins to fall in love with him, and that journey is so crazy, wacky, beautiful, scary, and dark all at the same time.
Nice. I like that. I had a, just to go back real quick to this whole Nora Roberts discussion here. Do you have a favorite Nora Roberts book? Just without the J.D. Robb, just, you know, strictly Nora Roberts.
Nora Roberts.
And I, yeah.
Oh,
like, did you have a... I'm sorry, I was talking over you. What was that?
Oh, no, I was telling you to go ahead and finish what you were saying.
Oh, no, I was just asking you if you had a favorite Nora Roberts book. And it, aside from the J.D. Robb stuff, she had that trilogy with witches. Was it witches? I think it was. And I don't know. Those are my they're my favorite, and I read them over and over again. They had those. I think one, yeah, Riley was one of. Was it Riley? I think that was one of the chick's names. And then I don't know. They come to the island, Three Sisters Island. That's what it was. Did you read those?
I don't think I have.
Oh, you were supposed to say yes, and we're going to discuss it.
Right.
They're really good. If you get a chance, you have to pick up those books because they were really good. I think they were. I have them in paperback. Yeah.
I think the name of the book. Yeah, it's something to do with fortune. I think. Already.
Yeah.
No. It was called Riley. It really was called Riley.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't. It was so long ago that I read them, but I remember how good they were. And would you like to do 11 questions with me?
Sure.
Yay.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering when I asked that question if people were going to be like, no, what are you talking about?
No,
absolutely.
No, I don't want to do that. But,
yeah.
And now, 11 questions.
Okay, I just found them. Here we go. Number one, what is the best or worst movie you've ever seen?
The worst movie I've ever seen was Meet the Spartans.
Good answer. I was going to go with mine, I think, I swear to you, those stupid, horrible human centipedes. And now I haven't even seen them, but just the thought of it just freaks me the hell out. So I would always, I know. It's just,
I can't do it.
I saw the first two, and it just, to be fair, the thing that freaked me out about the second one was it actually had a real giant centipede in it, and I thought, no. All the people stick to each other's feces. I don't have a problem with that, but you, real centipede, no, I'm switching this off. No.
There's something wrong with that, Jay.
Enough is enough, I thought.
Yeah,
they did
enough.
A reboot. It was like a low budget Human Centipede 3 that they did.
Yes.
Didn't even attempt that one. I thought no. The first one was I think it was quirky enough. I mean, I kind of enjoyed it as you can enjoy these things.
Ugh.
But the second one was just it was gratuitous and nasty, and it was even for me. And I do like a bit of gore, but I was just then to pee down. No.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah. Yeah, what was your very first grown-up horror novel that you read?
Oh, my favorite grown-up horror novel. That is a hard one because I have a lot. I think it would be It by Stephen King. That book scared the crap out of me as a kid, and I have a phobia of clowns now because of it.
You know, I never saw the original. I never did. I did see the remake or reboot or whatever, and I thought it was really good. But as for the original,
you really have to see the original. It was, I mean, even some of the effects are a bit rope. I think the feeling of dread and I think they captured it a lot better, to be honest, in the original.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'll have to watch it eventually.
You need to see it. You have to see it.
Okay. What's your favorite cuss word?
My favorite cuss word would have to be fuck. I have no idea.
Hey.
Every other word in my sentences when I'm angry is fuck.
Yep.
Mine too. Yeah. You know, I always have to wonder about, you know, some of our guests have come on. I'm not going to name any names. And their favorite cuss word is stuff like fudge and, you know, golly and stuff.
Yeah.
And I have to wonder about those people. Yeah. Especially being a whore. Yeah, you know, like, just, the funny thing is,
just grow up, grow up.
Yeah, the funny thing is the one guest who said his favorite cuss word was fudge, I have read like 5 of his books, and there is cussing. I mean, there is lots of cussing, so I think that's kind of funny, you know, but anyway. I like this question for some reason. What would be the worst way you can imagine yourself dying?
The worst way? During the zombie apocalypse and somehow I'm on the toilet, that is the worst way to go.
Wow. Did you see the movie?
The field when I'm running away or something, but not my most intimate time. That's just rude.
Fantastic.
You know, I pictured in my head Zombieland. You know, it starts out with a guy is, you know, trying to find a place to go to the bathroom. Yes. And it's got clowns, too. I bet you that really freaked you out, didn't it?
It did, because I wasn't expecting it. And I saw that movie in the theater. And as rogue as I am, and I love horror movies, don't get me wrong, I screamed. And my brother looked at me like, what is wrong with you? And I think he forgot that I had a phobia of clowns.
That's great, though. What was your very first pet?
My very first pet was, a pygmy mastiff, actually. And she was out of black, and I named her Shady.
Who was your biggest influence, either in writing or in life generally?
I think my biggest influence would have to be my older sister, Stephanie. She is one of the strongest women I know, and she's hardship. Like, it's absolutely nothing. Actually, I put a dedication in one of my books to her because she would always say, if she felt that I was on the verge of crying somehow, she would always say, you can either be as tough as glass or as strong as steel. I didn't know what that meant until I got older and started to encounter hardships myself. I kind of suck it up these days, but I love her for that. I look up to her still.
Oh, I love that. That's a great answer. If you were God for a day, what would you do?
First of all, I would test the President Trump. And I would try to restore world peace some type of way, even though, you know, that's kind of far-fetched. And everybody
yeah, you know
would be
what?
Millionaires.
There you go. That's a good answer. Or maybe money would be, like, obsolete. Like, we wouldn't need money for, you know, things or something. Because, you know, everybody, I think, has a tendency to say, you know, world peace. But you know what? Even if we did that, we restored world peace, we would just fuck it up again. I am really sure of this. So I would not go for the world peace. Fuck the world peace, you know. That's my opinion.
My fiancé and I were talking about that. And she asked, well, she had a thought. What would it be like if we didn't have money, if we removed money? And I said, the funny thing about that is the barter system. Because somebody somewhere is going to want to be on a higher platform than someone else. So they would probably collect everything that everybody else would need. So somebody else would come to them. So I think, like, material objects would be a stand-in for money at that particular point.
Right, right. All right, let's see. Who or what, in your opinion, is the crappiest horror or supernatural being?
Crappiest has to be Dr. Jekyll. I think he was such a bitch to always let Mr. Hyde go. Like, that is... It is true.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He took the potion or he stopped taking it. Like, Mr. Hyde was still popping up by himself. Just, like, get yourself together or take an anger management course. One of the other.
Yeah.
That's good.
I like that.
That's
good answer.
Good.
I like that. Yeah.
It's almost like she's thought of the, you know, thought of the answer to this, but we're like, you know, it's really thought of this before. So.
No, hey. That's brilliant. Yeah.
Okay. If it were legal to do so, would you eat human flesh?
Honestly, I think would be the moment that I would go vegan for real this time. Because, like, some people have, like, acne and then there's staph infections and so forth. And, like, you are what you eat, so I don't think I refer to that in my body.
I'm with you. I am with you. There would be no circumstance I would eat. You know, I don't even like meat at all too much anyway. I mean, you know, a steak, I will pass. You know, chicken, I'm like, whatever. So human meat, no, I'm good. I'll have a salad, thank you.
Right.
Who is your favorite member of the British royal family?
Oh, Queen Elizabeth. She is so dainty and classy. And they have a Netflix series about her. And I think she earned a lot of my respect out of it. Because there's so many people right, coming for her jugular and with so much class and pride. She just waved it all off like it was nothing. So I love her for that.
Awesome. Which franchise is your favorite? Halloween, Friday the 13th, Elm Street, Hellraiser, or Saw?
That is a hard one. If there was a gun to my head and I most definitely had to choose, which would I choose? That's hard. Okay, Freddy. I would choose the Freddy Krueger franchise, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Awesome, awesome. I'm always a Halloween girl. And you know there's going to be no Halloween movie. Did you guys know about this? There, I guess the trailer drops Friday. That's what I've been hearing.
Yeah.
Anyway, new Halloween. Woo-hoo. And I think Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be in it. That's what I've heard.
Yeah,
yeah, so
I'm looking forward
Halloween.
To that, yeah. Yay.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. And it's funny, we call these 11 questions, and here we are at number 12. right? The question is, what's your least favorite part of the writing process?
The synopsis. I don't know how myself, and I have a lot of author friends in different genres, and I think we all despise the synopsis. We can write a fast series, but when it comes down to that synopsis, it's kind of like we close up and like, can you write this for me, or do I necessarily have to write it myself? Absolutely cannot stand the synopsis.
I hear that a lot. Yeah, that's definitely a good answer. And here's a bonus question, which is, you know, basically just for me, if you say the right answer anyway. Baseball or stamp collection?
Say that one more time.
Baseball or stamp collection?
Baseball. I'm a hardcore baseball fan.
Are you really hardcore? Who's your team?
Texas Rangers.
Oh, my goodness. Now we can't be friends.
I'm from Texas. I can't help you.
No, it's just that my team, who are the Blue Jays, that they're a rival of ours, is the Texas Rangers.
Second favorite. I kid you not, in my closet, I have Blue Jay caps, like the snapbacks, the fitted caps. But I don't wear them, like, going to the grocery store because I don't like those nasty looks from people. So I wear them to have a Blue Jay.
Okay, well, I can be your friend again because you like the Blue Jays. So, that's awesome. I'm so glad. You know, I never find other baseball fans. I really don't. And when I do, I think he might be passing out right now because earlier tonight, you know, since we called into the show, I was all excited because the game was still going on. It was like the bottom of the 10th inning, and he could care less. So. He hates baseball. He doesn't
have
patience,
though.
Yeah,
I don't have
patience to watch it. Well, I hate to say this, but we're just about out of time for our first segment. Where can we find you online, Sunny?
On Facebook, you can find me under Sunny Giovanni or facebook.com/TheSunnyGiovanni. Twitter, Instagram, I'm That Giovanni. And Snapchat, Sunny_Gio.
Awesome. I didn't get the Snapchat one. But I do have all your links put up on our Facebook page, so if anybody wants to go there and stalk Sunny, they can do that. And I thank you so much for coming on the show. You have to promise to come back.
Of course. I will be fine here. I promise.
Yay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us, Sunny. I really appreciate it. It's been
a
pleasure.
Thank you, guys. I enjoyed you.
It's been a pleasure, and we will speak to you again very, very soon.
Good night.
Hey, you guys have a good night.
Okay. Good night. Say hi to Dallas for me. Bye, Dallas. Do you know, I love that show. I really love that show. It was great. I've seen all of them. That is one of my guilty secrets. I've seen, obviously, they rebooted it. They had a couple of new seasons. And sadly, Larry Hagman died, and I think they cancelled it because of that or whatever. And Big fan. So they will have to get the dance theme tune. Yeah, thanks for that. On that note, we'll do this.
radio show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Nodded off or passed out, one of the two, you know.
No, I'm just drinking. You know, I was in the middle of a nice big gulp when you were talking, so.
Oh, I'll have a glug while he's waffling on. Excellent, excellent, excellent. So, hey, what happens now? Something. What
Becky,
is it? What
don't
could
forget,
it be?
Can't forget about Becky.
How could I forget Becky? Let's bring her on, shall we?
Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
I could never forget you, Becky. How could I? How could I? How are you this evening, my dear? It's Becky the Reviewer, everyone. How are you this evening? Are you fine?
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Everybody's fine.
How are you?
Me? No, I'm not going to. Nobody cares. You're only saying that to be nice. You don't really care, so I'm not going to answer, be honest.
I could go on.
I could go on with all my woes, but I'll do the British thing.
No.
I'm everything's tickety-boo and chipper. Thank you very much indeed. So, So tell me, Becky, what are you reviewing for us this evening?
A book called War Game, and it's by Renier Palin.
Oh, seriously?
Rainier
Poland. Thank you for murdering
well,
you.
Rainier,
if you're listening in, I do apologize. She's Southern.
I love him. He is
She's from
so
the
great.
Southern states.
Yeah, he knows. He's heard me. He got me to say key lime pie the other day. And
key lime
pie.
Oh, I love
pie.
It.
I like
that. Key lime pie, y'all. Yeah.
That's exactly what he told me he wanted me to say. And I said, okay.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Brilliant.
That was really funny.
That is classic. So, War Game, and it is available from Hellbound Books Publishing, that awesome
yes,
publisher, folks, buy the book. Tell us a bit about it.
Oh, my
if
God.
If you want. I mean, join in. Gina, get the stuff.
This is really, really good, and I understand that he's written another one to go behind it, and he's working
he has.
On the third.
He has, and I have it on my desktop, so nah.
Oh.
There
you go. Nah,
there
okay.
Equal.
Me and the dwarves are talking, okay?
Awesome.
I'm telling you.
We'll never tell, Becky.
They will not speak.
I'm torturing them. I'm torturing them.
Oh, they'll just enjoy that.
This book is, I mean, it took me by storm. I mean, it is nonstop action in it. And, I mean, I was just amazed. It just sucked me right in. It starts off and there's this apartment building and it's concrete and it's old and this guy built it. And it talks about some of the tenants that live there. And one of the ladies, you know, pretty much came with the building. And the building keeper, I forget what they call him, lives there and takes care of the place too. And all of a sudden one day, there's these armed people out front. And they start shooting at the building, and they come. They take the building hostage, and I mean, it goes nonstop. I'm not telling you any more than that. I mean, there's a reason why.
Well, again, it is.
There's.
It is difficult not to give the game away, if you pardon the pun. But it's, do you know, and it says on the on the cover, because I know because I put it there, you know, there's a great, great movie that came out earlier this year called The Belko Experiment, and there was another one called Mayhem, which was a similar idea, was people trapped in a building. War Game takes it another step forward. If you enjoyed those movies, that kind of thing, then I'd say War Game is the book for you. I thoroughly enjoy it. It's literally starts off brutal, and it doesn't let up until the end. And literally, the last page, it's non-stop, and it just drags you along. And the thing is, it's for me, again, without giving too much away, a little bit of, you are with Game of Thrones, where they're not afraid to kill off popular character, and you think you're following this character, and this character's gonna, and then they're dead. Oh, right, okay, and then another character, and you,
what do you mean?
You don't know who the good guys are, who the bad guy, and it's just like,
right,
wow, you know, I'm trying not to give too much. Rainier really, it is a roller coaster, it's a veritable roller coaster of brutality, in my opinion.
It is.
Wow.
And I absolutely loved it. I was really shocked. I mean, I've read, you know, some good books lately, but I mean, this really, really, I was stunned. I mean, And then I got to the end, and I was like, oh, my God. And I was talking to him about it, and he says, oh, yeah, well, there's two more. And I'm like, where are they? And he says, Jake
yeah.
has one. And, of course, well, you know, I'm not getting that now.
So how many Becky stars would you give it?
Oh, an easy 10.
Wow.
But for James, I will say a 9.999.
Well,
nine.
We'll instigate. We can have 10.9.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yes.
10.9. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. It
really is. It could very easily be my book of the year.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah,
excellent,
awesome.
Excellent. Well, hopefully Rainier's listening. All right, he's listening on iTunes later. He'll be delighted. And
yeah,
he is,
yeah, he
and
does
he's a,
now.
I have to say, he's a great guy. He's South African, actually, South African.
Yeah.
Like that, there was a little bit of an impression there. Yeah, he's a great guy. Great
and
guy,
he's
but
also
he's obviously got a
he's also
great
a
future.
Poet.
Yeah.
Poet, right?
He submitted to some of our poems
my,
anthologies
yeah,
with poems.
What is this she's talking about? And then I was like, oh my God, yes, yes.
Yeah, that's
really
because
poetry,
that's because she
too.
That's because she butchered his name. That's right.
Yeah.
Say it again, Becky. Go on, Becky. Say
no.
it again. Go on. Go on.
No.
Say it again. I will. Go on. Rainier Payland, everybody, y'all. Well, thank you. That was a war game by Rainier Payland. And thank you for joining us, Becky. It's been, to be honest. It's been and gone. So we will speak to you next week. Hopefully you can practice pronounce. Pick a book by somebody called Fred Smith or something so you can half a chance.
Oh, my God.
All right. I will work on that.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us, Becky. We will speak to you next week, my dear. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all. Bye. Oh, you know, she's always value for money is Becky.
You know, I am tired of being the only one on the show without a cute accent. I think I'm going to have to, like, try to adopt one. That would be fun. I don't know if I could do it, but
yeah,
I'll
your
try.
Accent's it's a bit plain to be honest, but
I don't have an accent.
No, you need
you
one.
Have
you
an
need
accent.
One. You got no.
Yes.
No, I
yes,
don't.
I agree.
I don't have an accent. I don't hear it. I don't hear it.
I don't hear it as much as I used to. I mean, no, I don't hear it as much as I used to, which is kind of interesting. But you do have one, and Becky has one, and I'm the only one who doesn't. So
oh.
I will work on it. I know.
You work on an accent. And in the meantime, what is coming up next? Do tell.
Next, we have J.D. Hollyfield. Woo! Dude,
woo!
Push your button.
Yay! Hopefully you're there. J.D., are you there? Hello?
Hi, you two. How you doing?
Oh,
there she is.
I was about to say, come on, join in.
Love the applause. How are you guys doing tonight?
Well, we have an audience at the studio audience in especially.
Fantastic. I forget that every time I walk into my house.
I know, right?
Yeah, awesome. I just get dogs barking and kids whining mostly. That's my life.
Well, then we're still walking into the same house because I have three dogs and two kids. So I'm gonna start
else's
house.
We got four dogs and two kids. So yeah, it's probably much the
same.
Wow. It's bedlam.
Full house.
Oh, and the rest. Yeah, it is. So thank you so much for joining us. Do we call you JD?
Yeah,
do we call you Pardon?
So my other name of course is JD Hollyfield, but you guys are more than welcome to call me Jessica. That is my name. Since we're gonna get real friendly here tonight, let's go ahead and get a little personal as well.
Brilliant, Jessica,
yeah, like,
it is then. So my
yeah,
of my sister in law
had...
is called Jessica, for anybody who's interested.
attracted to them.
Nobody is.
No, I'm not really. We have had some guests, though, that, you know, James has asked what the initials stood for, and, you know, they would not tell us, so.
they're
very protective.
There's one thing if they... They always say, if you can always go back and change anything about your name. I said, I probably would have gotten a little bit more trickier with my author name. You know, I just really used my initials and I used my last name and I didn't do anything special or creative. And so I'm not really fooling anybody. So you're getting.
Well,
what
you know, here's the thing. You know, when when I was a kid, I always wanted to be a writer, you know, and I always dreamt of my name on a book cover. So it never occurred to me to actually have a different name. It is an industry. It's a well-guarded secret what my name is actually. It's H is for, and our good friend Nicholas Passione. took a wild guess and thought it's for homosexual. close, Nick. Very, very close.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't even know what the H stands for. I don't think you've ever told me. I think I even said last week in the same thing, and you still didn't tell me what it was. So, you know, I'm going to go with homosexual now. That's forever
going
to be
your middle name. Not a problem. It fits, so, you know, there you go.
It doesn't fit.
There you go.
H, yes. Could be hippopotamus for all you know. I'm just not. I will never tell. I will never tell.
Never. And here I thought there were no secrets between us, man.
Well, no, there is. There's that one. That's.
There's that one. Okay.
There you go.
Actually, there is that one. Mm-hmm.
So Jessica's here to talk to us about I was doing that.
Well, I thought you were just meandering. So yeah, you go for it. Off you go.
Yeah, I was going to say Jessica's here to talk about her book Sundays Are for Hangovers. And you know, before I really knew who she was. I think I've had you on my Facebook page forever, but I didn't really know who you were. And I was scrolling and I saw that that cover and I was like, oh, that is so pretty. I love the book cover. I do. I say that a lot because I think I'm a cover whore. You know, you've heard this term cover whore, but there is just something just awesome about that cover. It's really hot. I like it a lot.
Thank you. You know, I actually am going to go ahead and give credit to my co-author that I wrote the book with, Kay Webster. She actually designed the book cover herself. So it was a lot of fun trying to find the perfect picture because, you know, as everybody wants when you write any type of book, you want the book cover to kind of match the storyline. You know, you have these people that read these books and they say, you know, the main character had nothing to do with the person that they put on the cover. And for anybody that has read this book or plans on it, I think one of that great things that we did was really nail it on the characters on the cover. And so in the end, it was perfect and the cover matches the story perfectly. And yeah, we get a lot of compliments on it. I love it. I think she did a great job.
No, I want to make sure because I was taking a drink there at the very first part of that sentence. Did you say Kay Webster?
I sure did.
I love her. We had her on the show like decades ago, and I've been trying to get her back. Trying to get her back, actually.
I remember the name.
She wrote The Wild and there was that crazy backlash and whatever with that book,
I wanted
to have her on so bad, but I haven't, you know, and I have to say I read the book and I loved it. I really, really loved it.
Was she the one who had a book banned? Was that the one?
Yes, yes. Yep.
Yeah,
and
I remember the hoo-ha at the time.
A controversial book that almost broke the internet.
Yes. I remember... Before it like really blew up, I had ordered that book on Amazon, and then I don't even think it was Amazon. I can't remember where I ordered it from, but I was waiting, and, you know, finally, it was like 3 weeks later where they told me, you know, that they couldn't fulfill the order and everything, and I was so depressed because I thought for sure I had beat, you know, the system, and I got it before they took it down, but no. But I do have a copy now. I have a freaking paperback of that book, and I have a cool little magnet that says, I read banned books. I love it.
There you
I
go.
Do.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
Right. Funny. When you know, supporting her, I remember when they started taking all those books down, I went and jumped on it to Barnes and Noble, and same thing happened to me. It took about 3 weeks, and finally I got the notification, and she's like, "Oh, just let me send you the copy that I have." So, yeah, we've been co-writing for about 2 years now, and when she's not writing stories like The Wild or any of her dark thrillers, so. Yeah, she has a funny side to her. If you guys haven't read this one, we also co-wrote a series, a two lover series. So it's a three book series, which is pretty much the same concept as this, the romantic comedy, and super funny. You know, there's a lot of Kay Webster moments in them. So if you're used to her writing, you'll see her shine through definitely in some of her sections.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Oh, I would love to hear more about Sundays Are for Hangovers now, you know, aside from the awesome cover. You have to tell us what it's about.
Absolutely. So, like I said before, it's definitely a romantic comedy, and it is about two neighbors that are feuding. You know how they say the enemies to lovers would be the best trope to categorize it. And it's really a sexy little nerd neighbor who is really anal, and he just can't stand his cute little hot neighbor. And she gets under his skin, and they go back and forth. You know, they both have little secrets here and there that, you know, they come out throughout the storyline. They kind of bring them together. But it's basically just about these two that are nagging at each other. And, you know, one day they just realize, you know, I might hate him, but I might like them just a little bit more. And there's just so much humor, you know, there's swoon-worthy moments. You know, you might shed a little bit of a tear, depends on your, you know, your sensitivity level, but I think it's got everything that anybody would like in a story. So I would definitely recommend it to any of your listeners who enjoy a little bit of laugh with their swooning and their little, it's got that heat factor, of course, in it, in any romance.
I love that. I love that it's not insta-love. You know, I think, you know, when I've seen some, you know, posts, you know, authors will ask, what is your pet peeve or something, and insta-love is definitely one of mine. I don't care for that at all. I don't want, you know, and I said this once before, and James corrected me. You know, I'm like, dude, you know, people, you know, your eyes meet across the bar, and you just know. And he was like, well, actually, yeah, that happened to me. Okay, but it doesn't happen to everybody. So I definitely like, you know, the idea that they've, you know, they're neighbors and they've known each other for a little bit before, you know.
Right. Right.
That's
and,
really
cool. Insta-love is hard. Insta-love is kind of hard, too, because if you don't really nail it, the reader doesn't really grab, you know,
yeah.
They just
yeah.
don't connect with the character. So, you know, you really have to, you know, be really good at that insta-love to not, you know, scare away your readers. But with Sundays Are for Hangovers, they know each other and they hate each other and they know everything about each other, but they never realize they realize that maybe those things that they know about each other are kind of what makes them, like, in their own secret little way, like, sexy and hot. You know, she actually maybe likes his little quirks, and he maybe kind of likes that she's just a little hot mess of a neighbor, you know? So.
Uh-huh. You know, when you're talking, when you're describing it, that I just totally got When Harry Met Sally in my head, and which is one of my absolutely favorite, you know, chick flick books, you know, I mean, sorry, movies.
Oh, yeah,
you know, that
that's a perfect.
You know, yeah, they, you know, they hated each other. Every time they met each other, they just hated, and that was great. I absolutely loved that movie, and as a matter of fact, every single time I watch it, and he's walking away, and he realizes, you know, at the end, he realizes that, you know, he wants to be with her, and he goes running back. I start to cry every single time.
Yes. Oh, such a perfect time, too. You know, and I think those are sometimes the best with enemies to lovers books,
yes,
is because you just, it's like that building, right? The angst, the, you know, there's always still a little bit of that anger in there too, which everybody kind of wants to swoon for. So that's what this book has. And, you know, when we wrote it, we were both back and forth. So let me give you a little bit of a background. When K.A. Webster and I write together, I always write the female point of view and she writes the male point of view. So we kind of like take in our own character. So for Sundays Are for Hangovers, the main character is Lilith Hamilton and Will. And so she writes Will, and when I write Lilith, we both in our own ways are building up these characters. So like we like to joke around and say it's like we collide together. So it's like we almost feel like we're in this relationship together because I'm building up how I'm feeling and she's building up how she's feeling. And then we have this moment where we kiss.
Nice. It's like you guys are playing off of each other. Awesome.
I know. And it's great because, you know, when you find somebody that you co-write so well with and you have these moments that you can talk through and you can laugh through and you can swoon through and, you know, we sit on the phone for hours and we're like, oh, my God, I love this. This is so sweet. This is so funny, you know. So it definitely, you know, you can feel it in the writing and the words when two people, like, they connect in such a pretty cool way. And everything kind of lands where it's supposed to, so.
Awesome. I want to hear more. Do you have a reading for us?
So, I thought the best thing is to start with the first chapter because then you guys can all get an idea of how the story begins. I do apologize. I have allergies really bad, so my nose is really stuffy. So.
Oh, you sound great. I had no idea.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say. All right. So I'm opening it up. So the tagline of the book, as I know we talked about this earlier, is Two Neighbors at War, Only One Can Win. And so we do start with Will, who is the male character. And you'll notice if you read the book, so the title's obviously Sundays Are for Lovers, and so our title chapters are just, they're great. They almost make the book just as much as the storyline does. So for anybody that actually gets to sit down and read this, I think once you by the time you hit the end of this book, you guys will just love it. But okay, also I will. You guys, time for a quick chapter.
If we start running out, we'll gong you or something.
Like, it's super short. And I wasn't born to become a professional book reader, so bear with me. All right, chapter one, Will. Sundays are for yard work. I squat to inspect the heads of my in-ground sprinkler system that's not spraying like it's supposed to. What the fuck? 2 years ago, I paid $4,700 for this system so it would water my yard like clockwork while I'm at work. It's on a timer and everything. So why the hell is this head acting up? I push my black-rimmed glasses up my nose and squint. It's jammed. I pull my knife from my gym shorts pocket and flip it open. Something brown is hardened on the side. I pick it up, and until I see a bright pink underneath. No fucking way. A growl rumbles through me as I whittle away at the gunk gum. It's gum on my goddamn sprinkler head. As if on cue, music blasts from the house next door, and I cringe. Lilith Hamilton. Instead of a home wrecker, she's a neighborhood wrecker. I swear the value of my house dropped at least 15 grand the moment she pulled up in her cherry red convertible Mustang with her oversized sunglasses perched on the end of her upturned nose. I remember the day, a year ago, when she climbed out of her sporty car, blew a big pink bubble, and trampled all over my fire and ice hostas to introduce herself. I'd bitched her out for ruining my plans, and that is how it's been ever since. Her ruining the neighborhood and me trying to do damage control. Fury bubbles up inside me as I scrape her gum from the sprinkler head. As I listen to Tupac's California Love blaring from the backyard, I want to turn my knife on myself and carve out my eardrums. I can't take this anymore. I've done everything, including resorting to calling the cops. She just charms them with her big, flirtatious grin, shows a little cleavage, and gets her way. With them, I am immune to her bullshit. My tolerance level for obnoxiousness behavior is low, and nearly every day I'm going off on her for some other reason. I want her gone, and fuck, have I tried. Do you think being the president of the Spalding Oaks Neighborhood Homeowners Association would give me some pull? Nope, she's not doing anything illegal, and she's paid her due, so I can't exactly issue a lien on her property or call the city on her. I'm out of ideas, and it's pissing me off. With a huff, I scoop up the hardened remains of her gum and stalk through the yard over the side of her house. I reach her gate and bang on the wood. Lilith, I yell. The song on the radio changes to Big Papa by the Notorious B.I.G., and I lose it. She doesn't even have good taste in music. It's fucking maddening. I yank her gate open and storm into the backyard. Hey, Willie, she chirps and raises her glass to me. My gaze against her, my will, rakes across her body as she bakes in the sun. Her tits are divine in a bright orange blue-piece bikini that leaves little to the imagination and makes her skin more golden than usual. It's distracting sometimes that she's really hot. Really distracting. Bloody Mary, neighbor? She grins at me and my blood boils. Her messy dark hair is piled on a wild bun on the top of her head that fits her personality. Those lips. Are painted with a brilliant crimson and have dirty thoughts running through my mind at rapid speed. Focus, Will, God damn it. This, I bark as I charge over to her head and hold my fist out. You left this in my sprinkler head. My tongue drips with sarcasm. Her nose crunches up and lifts her sunglasses to inspect what's in my palm. Ew, sick. Keep your dirt on your flower beds. I don't want to see that. It's your gum, I snap. She lets out a large laugh as her full tits jiggle with the movement. Again, distracting. Oops. I glower at her, but she's not nonpulsed. Keep your gum out of my yard and do something about your Wilgelia. It's overgrown and an eyesore. She jerks her head down and it spikes between her thighs, which makes me inspect between her thighs. There's nothing wrong with my Wilgelia, she shrieks. It's maintained quite nicely, I can assure you. She stares up at me and points at my face. Keep your dirty mouth and your dirty hands in your yard, Wonka. Apparently, she thinks it's cute calling me some variety of Willy Wonka from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Since my name is William, because she does it all the damn time. It's not cute. It's annoying. I blink at her in shock. Has she gone mad? You're what? Jesus, Lilith. I'm talking about your big, overgrown, flowering shrub that's slowly creeping in my yard. Oh, well, why are you calling it fancy names for a vagina then? Her brows are furled together as she's mad at me. Are you kidding me right now? This woman is going to give me a heart attack. Grandma will have to bury her own family left because my nutty neighbor drove me to the grave at nearly 33. How am I doing on time here, guys?
I'm enjoying it so much. I don't care. Keep going.
Okay.
No, keep going. We will let you know. Keep going. We're enjoying it.
Okay. I'll move. That's the only solution. I'll find somewhere else where I don't have to deal with an uncaring neighbor who blasts 90s rap and drink alcohol on Sunday mornings and bring down neighborhood values with their unkept yard and inconsideration of others. Your eye is twitching, she says, as she adjusts her top. Her nipples are peaked and hard. It's not the only thing that's hard. With a clenched jaw, I toss her gum remains into the concrete beside her and storm over to her radio. I flip the channel to WXOJ because at least they play good music. Nirvana's All Apology blares as I stride out of her backyard. What an asshole! I smirk knowing I got her by changing the station. I've barely made it into my own yard before no diggity blast through the speakers, but somehow I feel as though I've won this round. It's hard to rail her up. She's so laissez-faire. Uncaring about anything but her stupid car and her stupid rap music. My phone vibrates in my pocket and I answer harshly, what? Someone needs a Snickers, Grandma chuckles on the other line. I groan knowing I was rude to the woman I love most in the world. Sorry about that, I mutter. I was dealing with a complicated matter. She baby talks her dog Skippy before chirping. Complicated female matters? As a matter of fact, yes. But I'm not telling Grandma that. She'll be over here in 15 minutes flat with a wedding planner and a list of possible names for her future great-grandchildren. I thought Grandma was going to disown me when Presley and I broke up 2 years ago. My lifelong girlfriend and I were on path to marriage, 3 years of dating, 2 seemingly compatible people, and I even helped her pick out a puppy. Our five-year plan was underway, but 3 years in, she tossed in the towel, just up and quit on me. Said I was too rigid and it wasn't working out. Me? Rigid?
Okay, we should cut now.
Okay,
But oh my gosh, it's I know,
that's
I have
brilliant.
To be the bad guy, but it was. That was so great. I mean, you know, the music alone had me giggling. You know, I had to mute myself because I was giggling. That was great. That I love the chemistry. I'm going to have to pick up a copy. You know what? I'm going to do what James does. I want to beg a copy off of you so I can read this because, you know, I can't wait till
definitely.
They actually – I can't wait till they actually get in the sack.
you've got no dignity, Xenia. You've got no dignity.
I don't know. That was
awesome. You know,
awesome.
The cool thing is, too, is in the back of the book, they give you – we've made a Spotify music list. So all the music that we actually go over in the book is there is a playlist.
Awesome.
Oh, what a great
you know,
idea.
Through with listening to all the music
yes.
we talk about in it.
Yeah,
brilliant.
You know, whenever I read, you know, because I'm kind of like right in the middle of two, like, you know, book world kind of like, the, you know, I got the horror genre and then, you know, the romance genre. And I know that when I was reading, you know, romance all the time, that's the first thing I would check when I got a new book was, you know, do they have, is there a playlist here? And I used to ask the, you know, I would actually bombard the author, is there a playlist to this? Because I don't know, for some reason, I'd love to hear, you know, what they're listening to or what, you know, maybe a song that, you know, reminds them
Absolutely.
Of the couple in the book. I do. That's like, it's awesome. So I definitely will be, you know, seeking out that playlist too. Now I'm not,
awesome.
I think I'm more of a fan of his music than I am of hers, to be honest. But I knew those songs, so I was like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. I love that.
Yeah, you'll definitely like the playlist then.
Yeah, definitely. Now, when you're not busy writing, who do you like to read?
So I definitely stick to the romance. I'm a huge fan of Dorinda Jones. Are you familiar with her?
I don't think I am. No.
Okay. You know, she
yeah.
is, she has this Charlie Davidson, and it is a, it's kind of a paranormal. She's a Grim Reaper. So I love that. I love historicals. I'm a huge Julie Garwood fan. I kind of spread it along the lines. I love romantic suspense. Linda Howard is definitely one of my top five favorite authors of all time.
I used to love her. Yes.
Yeah, her stuff. She's actually one of the main authors that actually got me reading.
Oh, wow.
I picked her up one day, and I think I read all of her books all in a row. I couldn't even
wow.
stop.
Yeah, hers, that was still back when I was actually buying, like, the hardcovers, and I couldn't wait until, like,
yep.
the other one came out. I remember Iris Johansson was another one of my absolute favorites. You know, they wrote Iris Johansson. I think that's her name. That
oh,
was her
yeah.
name, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And Lisa Gardner was a really great one, too, that I just
I'm looking at my bookshelf, and I'm trying to find both of those as we speak, because I know I have some.
Yeah, with the Iris Johansson, she had the, I think she did, there was a few books where I want to say, oh, God, I can't remember even what the chick did, but there were a couple books that she did with this one character that was, that did the stuff with the bones. I can't think of what that is. But she sculpted because she had like a daughter who, you know, was like killed or something. And she, I don't know. It was really good. I'm fangirling over here. But those are some definitely great authors to to read and to want to look up to. Yeah, they were definitely
absolutely.
I had the paperbacks, I had, you know, hardcovers on my shelf, and now I'm looking and going, I don't have any of those left, but I do have, I read a lot of indie, and I, you know, try to collect, you know, signed copies and stuff, which they mean a lot to me, you know, but, yeah, those are great. Oh, we had, I don't know if we have time for this, I'm hoping we do, embarrassing story. Jessica has an embarrassing story for us. And
oh, go
I
for
love
it.
This part because, yeah,
go
definitely.
So I would probably say one of my best embarrassing stories. So everybody knows, you know, firemen, right? Everybody, when they think of a fireman, they just think swoon-worthy. Everybody wants to just set something on fire so they have this hot, attractive fireman that's going to come and save the day. So,
right.
Well, this was about like 7 years ago when I had just had my first son. And, you know, having kids, it's like you're like not your best moment, like where you shine. I probably hadn't showered in days, brushed my teeth. My hair was sticking to my face. I was like in a really baggy T-shirt. I probably just like had underwear, no bra on. And I'm laying in bed and I start getting these like horrible muscle spasms to the point where I'm like, me and my husband are like 911 or go to the ER. And I couldn't even move to the fact we had to call 911. And it was embarrassing, the fact too, just because I was like, oh my God, I'm calling 911 for the first time ever in my life. And it's me. And lo and behold, the five firemen show up into my small little apartment and they are all gorgeous. I mean, it is straight out of the storybook, like attractive beyond belief. And here I am going, oh my God, I don't have a bra on. I think I smell, and I couldn't make eye contact with them. And I was so embarrassed, and they kept trying to put me on this chair because I couldn't move. And the only thing I'm thinking of this entire time was, oh God, I hope they're at least looking on the walls at the family photos that they know that I know, like, I don't really look like this. Cause I was so embarrassed how I looked, cause they were so good looking. I was like, this is only my luck that something like this happens, you know? Because sometimes people say, oh, my dad's a fireman, and you're like, oh, really? And they're like, oh, that's just a myth. It's not how it is like that. You know, firemen, they're old. You know, they're not, like, the attractive as there'd be thought. Lies. There was the five of the most gorgeous Aurora firemen in my bedroom.
Oh.
And I've never been so humiliated in my life, but so, like, you're so hot. Please look at my family photo because that's normally what I look like.
That's
so
awesome.
That's my embarrassing story that I will never live down.
We are, I hate this, we are out of time for the show. And I wanted to say that we have all of your links put up on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants
Thank
to
you.
Stop Jessica, they can go there and do that. And buy this book. I cannot wait to read it.
No,
and
thank you. Thank you for joining us, Jessica.
On.
Thank you.
And you have
it's
to
been
promise.
An absolute pleasure.
Yes, and you have to promise to come back.
I sure
Yay.
Will. Thank you.
Yeah.
Definitely. Anytime. You guys have a good night.
Yeah,
thank
and you.
You.
Thank you. And it is. It's that time, Xtina. Good night. This is that time, Xtina, where we have to say good night, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Tell me, when will you be mine? Tell me, quando, 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 we can share a love divine. Please don't make me wait again. When will you say yes to me? Tell me, quando, 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 happiness to me. Oh, my love, please tell me when. Every moment of the day, every day seems a lifetime. Let me show you the way to a joy beyond compare. Can wait a moment more. Tell me quando, quando, quando. Say it's me that you adore.